Exodus 32, 1-4. The people saw that Moses was taking a long time to come down from the mountain. They gathered around Aaron and said to him, "Come on, make us gods who can lead us. As for this man Moses, who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't have a clue what has happened to him." Aaron said to them, "All right, take out the gold rings from the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took out the gold rings from their ears and brought them to Aaron. He collected them and tied them up in a cloth. Then he made a metal image of a bull calf, and the people declared, "These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." For the word of God, for the people of God.
Friends, let us go to God in prayer. Oh, precious and loving God, we just thank you for this opportunity to worship you on this day. Every Sunday is a hopeful day. No matter where we are in our lives, no matter what's happened, Lord, we know that when we come to worship you, we experience you in a powerful way. May we continue to know you, Lord, as we meditate on your word this morning. Open our hearts to what you would say to us. It is in such great love to you that we pray, Holy One. Amen. So just want to let you know that Easter's coming. Woohoo! You guys, come on, Easter's coming. That's it. We have been on this journey together. Now, I wanted to let you know about Easter because starting next week, next Sunday, that's actually Palm Sunday, Palm/Passion Sunday. And although a lot of our youth and some of our kids are going to be celebrating that down south with Young Christians Weekend, we know that they will be worshiping with us in heart. Palm/Passion Sunday is the beginning of Holy Week. It's the last leg of this journey that we've called Lent that we've been on. And so I want to encourage you to not only come next Sunday if you are in town, but also that you would come to our special services during the week. We have a service on Thursday that week, Holy Thursday. It's not Maundy Thursday this year. I'll explain why when that service comes around. But it's Holy Thursday, and then we're going to have a Good Friday service. And then two services on Easter. One bright and early in the morning, 6:30 in the morning, that our youth are going to do. Jordan, I can see you're really excited about that. But it's going to be an amazing service. And then we're going to have breakfast afterwards. And so we're going to have an amazing worship. And then at 9 o'clock, we are going to have a wonderful Resurrection Day celebration that will feature our choir that we just heard sing beautifully as they sing their cantata for us. So just want to encourage you that Holy Week begins next Sunday. But we're still on a journey to get to that Holy Week, this journey we call Lent that started on Ash Wednesday way back in February. And every year, these past 9 years that I've observed Lent with you, we focused on certain things. This year, we have been focusing on things that take us off the map, that take us away from the journey that we have with Jesus, that thing called sin, right? Those thoughts, those attitudes, those actions or inactions that take us away from our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we've been talking a lot about what those sins might be. Today, we're going to be talking about something that is very pervasive in our culture. And that's a sin where we allow for certain things in our life to distract us from God, to put a barrier between God and us, things in our life that we allow to take precedence over God. Today we are going to be talking about the gods that we make, the idols that although we might not intentionally have wanted to, we still worship. I appreciate the words of Tim Keller. Tim Keller is a Christian pastor. I do not agree with everything he has to say. But I appreciate his definition of an idol. He says, an idol is anything more important to you than God. Anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God. And anything that you seek to give you, that you seek to give you what only God can give. And so today, friends, we're going to be talking about idolatry. And I just want to give you a warning, because this is something that's so pervasive with all of us, I'm going to be stepping on a few toes. Might even be smashing a few. So just a heads up about that. And all God's people can say, well, okay, well, that's all right. You're not used to that. So when we think about idolatry, when we think about idols, I think really what comes to our mind is what Carrie shared with us today from Exodus 32, right? People physically making something out of wood or rock or precious metals to not just stand in for the many gods if it's a polytheistic culture, or one god if it's a monotheistic culture, but something that's there that's not just a stand-in for God, but actually is worshipped as if it was a god. And I think a lot of us think about that. We think about ancient cultures. We think about cultures now that do that. We don't do that, do we? Yeah, but we do. We may not build things that we place in front of us and say, this is our God, but there are so many things in our lives that can become idols. Let's talk about people-pleasing for a second. I'm thinking there are probably a great many of us out here who are people-pleasers. Your pastor is a people-pleaser. I join 70 to 79% of all Christian pastors who identify as people pleasers. Where pastors are almost pathological when it comes to pleasing people. I didn't think that would be quite alliterative. We really are testing. We test high on that. And a lot of it's because we want to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we want to love our neighbor as ourselves, as do we all. Amen? But sometimes we allow for our love of others, that feeling we get by serving others, to take precedent over God. How that works out in a pastor's life is you're praying to God, God, what's a word I should say to somebody who's in trouble? And God leads you one way, but you say something else because you don't want to hurt that person's feelings. Things are going in a certain direction. You feel God moving in your heart that the church or the ministry or something needs to go in another direction, but you don't go there because you're afraid of the pushback, because you want people to feel comfortable. Am I making any of you uncomfortable yet? And how you work in your lives? Sometimes people themselves become an idol. And friends, it's not just individuals that can make an idol out of something in their lives. It's whole communities too. And I often wonder, why do we do this? Why do we make idols out of different things? And I think a lot of it's because we as individuals and we as a people, well, sometimes just like what you heard in that video earlier, sometimes in all the stresses of life and everything else that's going on in life, we do not feel God. And so what happens is, when we're not feeling God, then we want to go our own way. We start investing in other things in our lives, thinking that's going to fulfill us, thinking that's going to make us happy. We cease to rely on God, and we let another thing come before God in our hearts. I've spoken with a lot of good Christian people in our community over the last 9 years. And in the process of speaking with good Christian people, I've encountered an idol that's been there in our community. How many of you know when I talk about the sheep and the goats in Matthew 25, you know what I'm talking about? You know what's going on there, that parable of the great judgment at the end where the king talks to the sheep, and what do? In all things they have done for the least of these, so they've done for Jesus. And for the goats, they have not done so, right? And nobody seems to know which they are until that end happens. We are called by God to serve the least of these. We just sang about that in our praise song, didn't we? So when I've been in conversations about homelessness in Harrisonville, and what we are called to do as God's people, then what I often hear is the valid concern about safety. But there's a phrase that I often hear, and that phrase is, not in my backyard. See, there's something in there. There is a valid concern of how we can adequately work with people, sojourners on the road, on the street. At the same time, we also give abeyance to the God of comfort and security. Because when it comes down to it, we don't even want to talk about it because it violates how we feel. Can you see how idols can kind of creep up on us? I think this can help us to see what's going on with God's people in the wilderness in Exodus 32. And they are God's people, and God is making them into God's people, right? These are freed slaves, freed from bondage to Egypt. And they've been running around in the wilderness. God has invested in Moses and Moses' brother Aaron and Moses' sister Miriam. But God hasn't been an absent player. God has been a very active part of their lives this whole time. And 40 days before this scripture that Carrie shared with us today, Moses is back from a previous trip up to the mountain to see God. And at that time, that's when Moses received 10 commandments and received part of God's laws. There's going to be more that God is going to give Moses, including those law, the 10 commandments written on 2 tablets. But Moses comes back down from the mountain for a little bit, for a little respite. And while he's there in Exodus 24:7, the people are so glad and they're so thankful to God. And they say, everything that God says, we will do. We will obey. And then Moses, with his friend, his second in command, Joshua, they go back up on that mountain. And 40 days pass. Friends, we talked a lot about 40 days. What does 40 days stand for in Scripture? Exactly, a long time. Moses and Joshua have been gone a long time. And God's people are getting frustrated. And I think it's because whenever Moses was with them, they felt God's presence and they felt God near. And Moses has been gone a long time, so they haven't felt as close as God. God, they could see up on the mountaintop, but they haven't felt the presence of God. And so what they do is they give jewelry to Aaron, Moses' brother, not the best leader now, Aaron. But he takes their gold and he forms a golden calf. As he will later tell Moses, I put this all into a fire and out popped this calf. That's literally what the scripture says, by the way. It's kind of hilarious. A good way of shifting, trying to shift blame. This is where a lot of us probably would look at the wilderness people and say, what is the matter with you people? What is the matter with you wilderness people? God has rescued you from bondage. You were there when plagues were visited upon Egypt. You saw what happened. You saw how God worked for you. You were there when God worked through Moses and parted the Red Sea. And you went across on dry ground while the waters folded back on those enemies of yours that were pursuing, and they are no more. You were there to see God traveling with you as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. You're here right now, and you can look up on the mountain and you can see that cloud that's flashing lightning, that where Moses and Joshua have been for 40 days. Why are you doing this? Why are you wanting to worship another God? Let's not judge too harshly here. For this was an enslaved people. They weren't just freshly enslaved and just freshly freed. They have been slaves of Egypt for generations. They were slaves, their parents were slaves, their grandparents were slaves. The parents' parents, the parents' 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 parents have been slaves for a while. And slavery, as bad as slavery can be, they at least knew where their next meal was coming from. They knew that somehow their masters would take care of them because the master needed them. And that's where they found their value. And now God was molding them into a new people where they no longer had to find their value in what their earthly master said. Instead, God was saying, I love you for who you are out in this wilderness. You are my people. And I free you. And perhaps it was just very difficult for at least this generation of people to take. We can't judge them that harshly because we are witnesses to the miracles of God in our lives. We have seen wondrous things. We have seen births. We have seen life lived to the fullest. We've seen amazing transformation on this earth. And yet, we still fall back on the gods in our lives. And I'm going to share a list with you here in a second. We still fall back and make gods of our own when life gets tough. And sometimes we fall into idolatry and we don't even know it. Now, when it came to what happens in Exodus 32, and I invite you to continue to read that chapter today, it doesn't end well. God gets angry. We don't like to think about God being angry, right? But don't you know that God got angry because God cares? If you don't care, you're not going to get angry. If you don't love, you're not going to get angry. God loves. And God is hurt. God is wanting to have this relationship with God's people here. And so God is trying to consider what God is going to do. And God is wanting to do some, it seems, punishing. Moses, as you'll read, as you continue to read today in Scripture, Moses talks to God and he becomes a mediator for God's people. He said, remember, God, your promises. Remember your faithfulness. And Scripture tells us that God changes God's mind. Now, I could have a whole series on that. We're not going to dig really deeply into what that means, but it just means that God and humanity are in such a relationship that when a loving person speaks to God, God can change God's mind. But what that really also means is that in God's grace, so can we. We can change our mind. We can change our heart. We can be transformed by God's grace. Because we have a mediator too, right? Who is our mediator? Jesus. Jesus Christ. Jesus Messiah. He's the one that mediates for us. That's why Jesus died on the cross. That's why Jesus rises resurrected for us, because Jesus mediates for us, because we are the wilderness people still. And we still wrestle with those idols in our lives. So it's important for us as we're trying to focus, well, Kevin, what would those idols be? Well, let me share with you a little list. But it's in reference to a few questions that I want you to place on your heart for this week. Where do you spend your time? On what do you spend your money a great deal of the time? What is it that you focus your heart on? Got awful quiet in here all of a sudden. Think about those questions, and I'll share things with you that can become idols. Now, as I do, everything that I'm going to share with you right now is not created as an idol. They are things in our lives that can become idols. We make them our gods. Okay, they in themselves are not. What you're going to hear is you're going to hear some very neutral things that can become our idols. And you're going to hear gifts from God that we can turn into an idol. So let me begin. And this is a brief survey. I thought, as I was studying this, I thought, man, I could make a whole series about this. But we're not going to go into a long thing today. But, well, let's just begin. Your identity. Your identity can become an idol. Your identity, as you find importance on social media. How many likes do you get? How many are influencers out there because of who they are? Your identity of how what your skills and your gifts are. Your identity and how successful you feel like you are in life. Your identity in your achievements. Can you see what I mean? In and of itself, you are you. But when you starts to become the primary focus in your life, then you move God out of the way and you become who you invest in only. Here's one that you know, because we've talked about this before, wealth. Money is paper and coin. It is a neutral thing. But man, it's so easy to pursue that neutral thing to the point where it takes over our lives. It becomes our primary motivator. And when it does, we move God out of our heart, and that takes over. How about technology? Yeah, there you go. Can you hear it? You know, but that reaction is perfect. Let me show you how powerful this idol is. Take your family out camping when there is no cell signal. Do you have peace and harmony? No. Because people have invested so much in their technology. We are a people that have to learn how to communicate differently because of how tied we are to technology. It's very difficult for me. That's an idolatry that I struggle with myself. Sex. Sex is a gift, man. That's a gift from God. What an amazing gift that God has given us. And what a gift that we can turn into an idol when we exploit it. Right? Look at every bit of advertising. Look at social media. It's pervasive, not in a good, healthy way, but in a way that's exploited. Boy, and when the internet was born, pornography became so very pervasive. I don't think you want to hear statistics about how many people in this very room watch pornography regularly. So I'm not going to share that. Why? Because I'm a people pleaser. No. I'm not sharing it because I think we know that's something that sex can become an idol. Here's one that's going to step on some toes. This is another gift from God, a blessed gift from God, but man, it can be an idol, and that is family. Uh-oh. Stomp on some feet. When family begins to move God out of the way, then it becomes an idol. Now, I know what you're saying. God wants us to have family, and amen to that. You guys saw my family here a few weeks ago. Man, I felt so good. But if the concerns of the family and everything else, if God is calling you to do something, if God has laid something on your heart, if God is speaking to you to do something, and you put that above, I know it's tough to hear, but I invite you to show me in the Bible where it says family is over God, and you will not find it. That obey thing, that's the tough part. And I want you to hear me here. I'm not saying no families, right? You know that. But what I'm saying is this is something that can become an idol. Everything that I've spoken about, and there are more, everything that I've spoken about in and of themselves are not things that are idols to us, but we make them that way when in all the pressures of our life and all the stress of our lives and all the craziness of our lives, we cease to rely on the God who loves us so much. And in the wilderness of our lives, then we turn to these other gods, these other gods that were not gods, but we make them that way. And we struggle. And so friends, this week, as part of your spiritual discipline, I invite you to do something tough. At the end of each day, I want you to kind of take an inventory of your life and think about your day. Where has your heart been? Where have you spent your money? Because we spend money on things we value, things we care about. Where have you invested your life? Has God been at the center? Or has there been something else? Be mindful of that, and I invite you to consider opening your heart to let God be in the center. Because with God as the center, then our priorities come into place for family, for sex, for identity, for technology, for all those things that I talked about. They don't go away. But we can recognize gifts for being gifts. We can recognize things for being things. And God is the one that leads us. I thought about this sermon today, and the people pleaser in me thought, oh man, I don't want to talk about this. But we got to. Because I, like you, struggle with idolatry every day. But we have a God who calls us in love for obedience. No wonder it's so hard to transform this world in love. It's because there are a part of us that don't want to. Because we are enslaved by other gods. But God is doing to us, God is doing for us what God did for the wilderness people. And God is inviting us to be free in Jesus Christ. And we can with the power of the Holy Spirit. So pray with me, please. Loving God, today is a difficult message because there are so many things in our lives that we allow to take precedence than you. And we justify it, Lord. We justify it because it's like that's just the way it needs to be. That's the way it should be done. But part of the transformation in our heart, Lord, is to know that you are the center of our lives through Jesus Christ and the power of the Spirit. Lord God, transform us. You didn't expect us just to come to church and then live our lives as though they've always been that way. We don't come here to worship you so that you can bless what we're already doing. Always, Lord, you are out there molding us, transforming us so that we can let go of the slaveries, the masters that we have in our lives, so that you can be our God. Free us, Holy One. Open our hearts. Change our lives so that we can truly be your people in truth and light. And all God's people said, Amen.